Look at it with me in 2 Kings chapter number 2. And the Bible said here that, let's start reading in verse number 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. What's got my attention this week is that phrase there where it says, he took up also the mantle of Elijah. I don't know what to call the message this morning, but I know this. Before we get done, it's my prayer that God will show you that there's something he wants you to pick up. Don't just leave it laying there. Say amen.
Amen.
There's a mantle. You say, "Pastor, that can't apply to us in these days." Well, you stay with me and you'll see that it does. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you more for your presence. Thank you for your power. God, I thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And Lord, there's not a doubt in my mind. There's people here today that need help. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. I pray, Lord, you'd help the lost to find their way to Jesus. And Lord, I pray you'd help the child of God to be serious today about the things of God. And God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for being here this Lord's Day. Elijah and Elisha traveled together. And when Elijah went to heaven, I heard a preacher get all stirred up preaching. Brother Brian, he said he went up to heaven in a chariot fire. I believe it was a fiery chariot. But I'm glad for people that get excited about the truths of the Word of God. Amen. And the Bible is teaching us here that as he went up, he evidently just turned loose of that mantle that he had worn while he was on the earth doing the ministry of God Almighty. And there was a man by the name of Elisha. He prayed. He wanted a double portion of that spirit that was on Elijah. Let me ask you something. Have you ever met anybody in your life that you'd like to have a little bit more of what they got? Would somebody help me right there? Have you ever met anybody in your life you'd like to have more of what they have? Amen. And I believe that if it pleases God, that we ought to go after that God has for us. When Elijah, in verse number 1, the Bible said when the Lord would take Elijah up into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. For us this morning, and I'm going to come back to this in the end of the message, but you say, "Pastor, this is Old Testament." Just remember, it's all written for our example. Amen. The Bible uses the word ensample. But that's what it would mean today. It's an example to us. It's something for us to glean from. Brother Vince mentioned in Sunday school, this old Bible's not something you just discard. Get over and read it. Amen. You're going to be blessed as you study the Word of God. But for you and I, We're going to see in a little bit what it requires to take up that mantle. And I believe there's a lot of people that are interested in that mantle until they find out what it requires. But my prayer is this morning that somebody's going to see the requirements and say, I still want to pick up that mantle. For us, here's a verse that would apply. Jesus, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Brother Chris, I don't have another man of God's physical mantle to pick up. But that night in February in 1987 when Jesus saved my soul, God said, there's a cross for you to pick up. There's too many people that's interested in picking up a crown. The crown's not for down here. The crown's for over yonder. The cross is for down here. Amen. And God wants us to pick up that mantle. Pick up that cross, if you will. The Bible says, let me just move right on into the message, give you four things this morning that God has put in my heart. Picking up the mantle, number one, requires being found. You might say, that's so simple. Well, it's already been testified of this morning. I want to say this, the night Jesus saved me, I wasn't looking for him. But thank God Almighty, he was looking for me. Amen. The Bible said, so he departed. This is 1 Kings 19:19. So he departed thence, and he found Elisha, the son of... Listen, Elisha wasn't looking for Elijah, but Elijah was looking for Elisha. He was looking for somebody to come in and pick up that mantle, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and Eve with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Isn't that good? We've got to be found. Some will never take up the mantle because they've never been found. I'm telling you, not only were there verses of Scripture, beloved, that bothered me before I got saved, but there was a song. That's the name of the song of Brother Caleb is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Here's the line. I once was lost. I never had a time in my life when I saw myself lost without God. I was full of pride. Amen. I want to yoke up, join up. Amen. And I knew the language. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, I wanted just to be better. But you can't be better until you get to the one that can make you better. And he's the one that's looking for you. Amen. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I once was lost, listen, but now I'm found. Glory to God, it's good to be found. Amen. I used to go hunting in the hills over there behind Saltville, Virginia, Clinch Mountain Wildlife Area. And I always thought, beloved, that listen, if you're going to go out through there, I know what I need to do. I need to kick out some leaves here at this big oak tree so I can get back to this oak tree. And then I'd go over yonder to another big tree and kick out some leaves and say, I need to turn left right here. You do that four or five times in the mountains and go to trying to find your way back. Guess what? Every one of them big oak trees looks just the same. Amen. And you know what? Listen to me. There's something to be said right here. It never did bother me. Amen. Until I realized on my way out, I'm in the dark now with a flashlight. It never did bother me. I was lost the whole time. But it never did bother me until I knew I was lost. When I knew, I've been here twice already. I ain't doing nothing but going in circles. It took me a long time to realize, beloved, listen, that when you're in the woods, you got to look at them mountains and them valleys. You can't look at an oak tree. You walk 100 yards and they're everywhere. Amen. And you say, what do you do on flat ground? I trust the GPS, God's positioning system. Amen. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have mountains. But listen, it never bothered me to be lost until I realized I was lost. There's a song that says, I'm glad he found me. In love unbound me. Amen. Put his arms around me. Ain't that good? He led me to the shelter. Now I'm one of his own. Amen. It's good to be found. Oh, glory to God. Listen, some will never pick up the mantle because they've never been found. Number two, taking up the master's mantle. Picking up the mantle requires being found. Secondly, picking up the mantle requires a willingness to forsake. I want you to go to the scripture with me in 1 Kings chapter number 19 real quickly. Go with there. 1 Kings chapter 19. I want you to see this. This is not just something that I thought up. It's in the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 19. The Word of God said in verse number 19, "So he departed thence and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." Watch this now. "And he left the oxen." You know why some will never pick up the mantle? They're not willing to leave anything. They're not. Listen, the Word of God said over there in that verse I shared with you a while ago, "If any man will come after me," Jesus said, "let him" what? "Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we can have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival where people are getting saved and people are getting right, but it ain't going to happen until we're willing to leave off what God said leave off. You can't watch this world's movies all week and come to church and expect to get a spiritual diet. Amen. You can't go to them wrong places on the internet and come into the house of God and expect to get fed at the table of God. You can't listen to that ungodly music all week and come in and expect to be blessed by the choir that's singing the songs of Zion. Amen. I'll tell you, God said here, he left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and he said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen, and he slew them, slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and he ministers unto him. You know, here's where most of us are. Oh my goodness, you know, we better put that oxen in the barn because we might want to come back. We better put that, what's that instrument called there? I done forgot what it was called. What's that instrument? The yoke. I better hang that yoke up in the barn and let somebody look after that yoke. Oh no, he cut the yoke up and used it to cook the oxen, and he said, "I'm going with God." There's something to forsake. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, God will help us if we'll let him. There's no mantle of a man of God laying up here, but there's the cross of our Savior that he's offering to us. He's saying, "Pick up that cross and follow me." Picking up the mantle requires being found. Picking up the mantle requires a willingness to forsake. A willingness. I need to just stop and say this real quick. I didn't plan on saying this, but years ago, God dealt with my heart and made it plain that I was to leave Liberty Baptist Church. He made it plain. My work there was done. I'm standing on the front porch with my son. Some of you have heard this and some of you haven't. We worked on our house there. We put a metal roof on it, put windows in it, built porches. Brother Billy, we're just trying to get it where you could maintain it without having to paint all the time and caulk all the time and get the air sealed out of it. We worked and worked and worked and worked. When I resigned the church, my son said, "Dad, I don't understand. It looked like I was moving off to Glade Spring at the time, the pastor of the church I saved in. That looked like at the time the way God was leading. Ended up not being that way." But my son said to me, he said, "Dad, I don't understand. Why would God have you to do all this work just to move off and leave it?" And I said to my son, I said, "Son, all I want to do is hear God say, 'Well done,' one day after a while. I was willing, beloved, to walk off and leave what we had worked on year after year after year. And I, as long as I've got any memory at all, I'll never forget what my son said to me. He said, 'Don't worry, Dad. You will.'" Oh, Oh, glory to God. Let me say this to you this morning. You'll never regret leaving anything behind. If that's what it takes to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died for you and died for me, you'll never regret it. Picking up the mantle, it requires being found. Some of you will never pick it up because you ain't never been found. Some of you will never pick it up because you're not willing to forsake anything. I've got my ways and I'm hanging in there. I'm going to tell you, His ways ain't our ways. Amen. Number three, picking up the mantle requires a willingness to follow. I'm not going to read all the verses this morning. We'll be here to 1 o'clock. My body won't stay to 1 o'clock. My heart will, but not my body. Let me give you what God's put in my heart here. It requires a willingness to follow. Go back over there to 2 Kings, chapter number 2, where we were. A willingness to follow. He said, in 1 Kings 19, he said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned from him. Then the word of God said, then he arose and went after Elijah. Now when you come to 2 Kings chapter number 2, you're going to find several places here. The Bible said it came to pass in verse number 1, when the Lord would take Elijah up into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. I want to just try to, listen, there's 4 pages of notes on these 4 places up here, but I'm going to try to condense it down and just try to give us the high points, okay? Because God wants to help us this morning. And there's got to be a willingness to follow. A willingness to follow. I want to tell you something. I can't make my children follow me. I can't make my grandchildren follow me. But if they do, Brother Brian, they're going to a wonderful place called heaven. Amen. Amen. Listen, he said, I'm going to have to follow. And these places here, they're, you say, Pastor, following God, that's different than following Elijah. Y'all need to realize this. I'm in the New Testament now. The Apostle Paul said this, be you followers of me. That ain't God.
Come on.
He said, me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. Is that in the Bible? So was it right for Elisha to follow Elijah? I wish every one of us had enough God on us that somebody wanted to follow us. Amen. And in so doing, they're following the Lord. There must be a willingness to follow. The Bible said in Hosea 6:3, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Beloved, listen, there's more to this thing than just being saved. You understand what I mean? There's more to it than just being saved. God's got a mantle He wants you to pick up. He's got a cross He wants you to pick up. My pastor years ago, Brother Bud Wishon, what a man of God. He was such a blessing to me. He nurtured me, took me under His wing. He would leave me at times, Brother Chris, I'm talking about, I'm 27, 28 years old, and leave me with the entire Sunday to do the services. He would go into meetings and he'd say, they'd say, who's preaching for you now? I got a young preacher in my church. They'd say, are you crazy? He trusted me. You know what he told me one day? He taught me something. He said, Brother Rick, he said, I'll always trust you. Lesson you ever prove otherwise. Some people, they start out making you earn their trust. He said, I'm just going to trust you. And lesson you ever prove otherwise. Ain't that a good way to live?
Amen.
Amen. That's a good way to live. And my pastor, you say, Pastor, I wouldn't talk about following that pastor. Well, I'm going to just a minute anyway. Because I loved him. Because it was evident he had the mantle of God on him. Amen. He had a good family. He had good girls, a good wife. He loved the Lord. Amen. Do you know how I ended up in my first church? Greer Baptist Camp Meeting in Greer, South Carolina. Who was the preacher down there, brother? Billy Kelly. He held that camp meeting. And my pastor had run into people from the church and Wise in that camp meeting. He had given them a gospel tract so they could get in touch with him if they wanted to. And this church in Wise, they got without a pastor and they called him. They called my pastor and he went up there and looked at it. He was considering leaving our church at the time. He had already asked me if I thought I might take the church. I knew some things that was going on. And I said, "Brother, I'm not interested." See, God even gave a young man a little bit of wisdom. Say, "Amen." I wasn't ready for that. Somebody said, "Where'd you go to school?" Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia. That's where I went to school. Amen. He goes up there and looks at the church. They said, "Would you take the church? You think you might take the church?" He said, "Oh, no. No." He said, "But I know where your pastor is." They said, "Well, tell us." He said, "Sitting on the front bench in my church." That's what he said. Are you listening to me? You say, "Well, what if I was just bucking my preacher, amen? And what if I didn't have that desire to follow the Lord and follow the man of God?" So they called me. He told him this, "Brother Brad, you'll like this." He said, "I'll let him come up here and preach for you if you'll treat him right." Said, "If you ain't going to treat him right," said, "tell me now. He can stay right where he's at." Amen. That's what he said. Amen. That's a man of God. He said, "Well, you wasn't following God. You was following a preacher." I'm going to tell you what, you can say whatever you want to, beloved. God's blessed this old boy's life. I've always had a respect, a deep respect for the men of God that God has put in. And I still do. You'll never meet a man like Brother John that was in here that Wednesday night down there in Brazil. Oh, thank God Almighty for men that are sold out to the cause of Christ. Follow Gilgal. That's the first place you run into here. I better go on. Gilgal, what's it speak of? It speaks of separation from the flesh and the past, as well as separation unto God. We're living in a day when if a preacher does preach separation, it's all one-sided. You got to be separated from this and separated from this and separated from this. But you know what Paul said in Romans chapter 1? He said he was separated unto the gospel of God. Amen? And you say, "Pastor, why does that Gilgal speak of that?" I don't have time to read it all. But in Joshua chapter number 4, the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day in the first month, and they encamped in Gilgal in the east of the border of Jericho. And what they did there, they set up stones there. What mean these stones? The Bible said, "Then shall you let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground." This is what happened there at Gilgal. "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan." And then later in the verse it says that all the people of the earth might know. God said, "There's two reasons I want you to be separated. That your children might know me, and that all the world might know me." Separation is scriptural. Amen. I said it's scriptural. The Bible said, beloved, then there's another way. Talking about the separation at Gilgal. You remember in Joshua chapter number 5, the Lord said unto Joshua, "Make these sharp knives and circumcise the children of Israel the second time." Those men that were 20 years old and above, they died in the wilderness. And so those ones that grew up, beloved, had not yet been circumcised. It was a cutting away of the flesh. Let me say this, beloved. You'll never pick up that cross until you let God do some cutting on that flesh that you've got and that I've got. There's flesh that needs to be cut away. Amen. That we might be the man of God that God wants us to be. There's some things that needs to be left behind. Amen. The Bible said, "I rolled away the reproach of Egypt." God said, "Listen, you're not in Egypt anymore. You're in the promised land." So some will never pick up the mantle. Because they're not willing, beloved, to follow. Bethel, as the next place they come to. You say, "Pastor, what's the New Testament scripture for that separation? Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Then touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Let me get a show of hands right here. I'm talking about since you've been born again. Since you've been saved. How many's touched something that's unclean? Raise your hand. Looked at something that was unclean. Listened at something that was unclean. Everybody with me this morning? You say, "Pastor, what happens?" I'll tell you what happens. Instead of taking up the cross, we lay it down. Instead of taking up the mantle, we lay it down. The song, Brother Billy, about the failures, that's when we're failing. Amen. When we're going our own way. That's when we're failing. Bethel speaks of the house of God, a desire to know God and be in God's presence. It was Jacob in Genesis 28 after his dream that gave Bethel its name. Surely the Lord is in this place, he said. Then he said, this is none other than the house of God. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say now? I'm trying to say when you follow and you get over there to Gilgal, there's some stuff that you're willing to let God cut away in your life. Amen. Brother Junior, there was a couple of men come out to your house. I think you got a peach tree, is that right? Or a pear tree or something out there. And they pruned it. You know what they're doing? They're getting that tree in shape to bear some beautiful fruit. Some of us, beloved, will never be what God wants us to be because we don't want God getting that knife out. We don't want God pruning our lives that we might bear fruit to the glory of God Almighty. Let me say this morning, that willingness to follow, beloved. You get down, you follow Elijah down there to Gilgal. Hey, some stuff will be cut away. You follow him on to Bethel, you're going to enjoy the presence of God. Amen. There's people, listen, that treat the house of God like a convenience. Oh, you say, preacher, I wouldn't preach like that. Maybe that's why you're sitting where you're sitting and I'm standing where I'm standing. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the house of God should not just be a convenience for God's children. That ought to be a place that David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and inquire in His temple. I sent Sister Carol a note the other night. How it blessed my heart Wednesday night to see her in the house of God. I'm telling you, I know that Brother Wayne sat right there in that seat, and there were time after time after time when he didn't feel like putting one foot in front of the other. But he said, I've got this down in my heart. I want to go to the house of God. There's some of you sitting here this morning, and your body's racked with pain and racked with disease, but there's a desire to be in the house of God. You follow the Gilgal, some things cut away. Follow on down to Bethel. And beloved, you'll enjoy God's presence. Then you get down to Jericho. All of this is right here in 2 Kings chapter 2 if you want to get there today sometime and read it. But he followed on to Jericho. What does Jericho speak of in the Bible? It speaks of walking by faith and no longer depending on my own strength, but depending on God's strength in my life. Listen to the text. Joshua chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of a trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of that city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. You say, Pastor, what did that take? I'm going to tell you what it took. Faith. You know what Joshua said? God, you said it. We're going to go do just exactly what you said. We're going to march around that thing 6 times. I like what Brother Mays Jackson said in yesteryear when I would listen to him. Listen, Brother Mays said this. He said, a lot of you Baptists, he said, you're real good at shouting after the wall falls down. He said, where's some Baptists that'll shout before the walls fall down? Honey, the shout was a shout of faith. Glory to God, you and I are living on the precipice of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Can't we shout a little bit on faith? And bless His name. When He followed Him, there's Gilgal, something be cut away. There's Bethel, there's the presence of God and the house of God. And then there's Jericho. It's a walk of faith. Listen, Here's what the Bible said somewhere over in the book of Galatians. It said, O foolish Galatians, having begun in the Spirit. Everybody that ever got born again began in the Spirit. You didn't get born again apart from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, He does the work of convicting. He does the work of drawing. He does the work of converting us and birthing us into the family of God. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, people get up off the altar. They start by trusting and try to live their life by trying. The Christian life is a life of faith. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. You say, Pastor, why is that so important? I don't know, but I know this. God said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not haphazardly, not church if it's convenient, not Bible if I ain't got nothing else to do, if I need something to put me to sleep. Help me right there. Amen. I'm telling you, it's somebody that diligently, on purpose, said, I'm going after God. I'm going to follow after the Lord. Jericho speaks of faith. Walking by faith. No longer dependent on our own strength. And then the Jordan speaks of a death and a resurrection. Crossing over. Brother Vince made mention of it in Sunday school. He talked about how we're buried with Him in baptism in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection to walk in the newness of life. There was Egypt on one side of the Jordan and there was the promised land on the other side of the Jordan. And let me say this to you. Many people have made the promised land out to be heaven. I don't think that's a good typology, a good type in the Word of God. Because in the promised land, there were battles still being fought. There was victories that still needed to be won. There was land that still needed to be claimed. How many with me right there? What the promised land is a type of is the victorious Christian life. Living in victory. Walking by faith. Living in victory. So, if we're going to pick up the mantle, we've established, beloved, that it requires being found. And it requires a willingness to forsake. And it requires a willingness to follow. You know what old Elisha said? I don't care where you go. I'm going with you. Ain't nothing or nobody going to keep me from going with you, Elijah. Elijah kept trying to deter him. Let me say this. I'm not calling Elijah the devil, but the devil will try to deter you. The flesh will try to deter you. The world will try to deter you. Amen? And I believe with all of my heart, if we're going to pick up that mantle, it requires these things. The last thing it requires is willingness to have faith. This goes along with the last point and following. But you see, watch this down here in verse number 14 again. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters. Listen, that mantle, the first thing he did when he picked it up was he put it to work. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And you know what God did? The Bible said here, and when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. What did that take? That took believing God. That God wasn't only on Elijah, but now God is on me. And God wants to use me. God has a purpose for my life. I believe if we pick up the mantle, we must have faith. Listen to this quote from A.W. Tozer. I know probably you've heard of him. He was a wonderful man of God from days gone by. Listen to this quote. He said, contentment with earthly goods is the mark of a saint. I like that. It's true. The Bible said godliness with contentment is great gain. Now listen. He said contentment with our spiritual state is a mark of inward blindness. In other words, is there anybody in the house that wants to follow on to know the Lord? Is there anybody, beloved, that wants a little more? Listen. He said here it's inward blindness. He said Orthodox Christianity has fallen to its present lower state. You know, I'm just going to stop and say this morning. There's churches in Kingsport. It would have been completely out of order for people to stand and testify. They would have said, oh, maybe you said that. God help you. Amen. I said, God help you. Beloved, the preacher ain't the only one that can encourage somebody. Your testimony, you may share it this week with somebody and it make all the difference in the world in their life. He said here, Orthodox Christianity has fallen to its present lower state from a lack of spiritual desire. Among the many who profess Christian faith, scarcely... I like what that preacher told me years ago. He said, if you're going to say something mean, he said, don't just say it, preacher. He said, repeat it after somebody that already did. So A.W. Tozer said this, among those who profess the Christian faith, scarcely one in a thousand reveal any passionate thirst for God. You know what God said? He said, I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I tell you, I don't know where your spiritual gas hand is. You know. In my little old truck, there's a light that comes on. Because I ain't always paying attention to the gas hand. And it'll say low fuel. You may be here today and you may be saved by the grace of God. But the Holy Ghost may be saying low fuel. You know how much we got? As much as we want.
That's good, preacher.
Is there a willingness... After that we've been found, it requires being found, but is there a willingness to forsake? Is there a willingness to follow? And is there a willingness by faith to do whatever God wants us to do? Wise County, Virginia again, and I'll shut up. I'm mowing the grass. Visitors' cards. We had people fill out visitors' cards, and I never did visit the week after they visited the church. I always wanted to wait 1 week, see if they come back. I'm mowing the grass, an old snapper lawnmower. 30-inch deck, one blade. How many's ever rode one of them? Mine was special. You mow 15 minutes and work on it 15 minutes. I didn't know Bob McClellan at the time, brother. Amen. And I'm not a mechanic. And I didn't have the money to pay one. So I'd mow a while and work a while. I'm going down by the creek, first pass around the backyard. The Spirit of God said, I want you to go visit with those folks. Okay, Lord, I will. I come all the way back around. It's probably a half acre of grass. Same place, right by the same place, the creek. And the Holy Ghost said, I want you to go visit with those folks. I said, Lord, I will. Just as soon as I get done mowing. I made one more pass. And I'm telling you, it was so strong, Brother Turtle. He said, I mean now.
Amen.
I reached down between my legs and turned the blades off and cut across the high grass. I kept me a bar of soap laying in the back window of the parsonage. Pumice is what it was called. It cut grease and stuff off your hands. I washed my hands, took my handkerchief. I had on clothes. They weren't dirty, filthy dirty, but my work clothes, where I've caulked in them and painted in them, you know, they last longer if you rub the caulking and the paint all over them. It preserves them, amen. But I had on those old clothes, and I washed my hands and dried my face, my hands off a little bit with a handkerchief, and I got in the car. Well, somebody got in with me, the devil. He said, it's 2:30, something like that. He said, they probably ain't even home. I said, you might be right, devil, but I'm going because God said me to go. I get there and I knock on the door. Much to my surprise, they answered the door. Come in, preacher. I went in. And this is the first thing they said to me. I said, preacher, it's good to see you. I said, today's our anniversary. We both work for the same company, and the company gives us our anniversary off.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
Next. Listen to this. Next. They looked at me and said, preacher, we've been sitting here all morning just talking. And we need something. But we don't know what we need.
Amen.
I took one of these old books, this King James Bible. In probably 30 minutes, they understood that it wasn't what they needed. It was who. And His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And they trusted Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what I've learned? It don't always make sense. How in the world does it make sense to march around these old big walls six times and keep your mouth shut? Amen. How does that make sense? It don't have to make sense if God says to do it.
Amen.
Just do it. It don't have to make sense. Then on that seventh day, I could see them people up on the wall saying, look at them idiots down there, day one. Look at them idiots down there, day two. Look at them idiots down there, day three, four, five, six. I could see them on day seven say, there's something different. They've only been going around once. They're on their second lap now. There's a whole lot different. God was fixing to level that place. He was going to spare a harlot. He was going to put her in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. You just can't improve on God's way. Up here this morning, you can't see them. But there's crosses laying everywhere. Some of you, at one time, you was carrying that cross. But you've laid it down. You've traded it for something else. Some of you, you'll never pick it up because you're not willing to forsake. You're not willing to follow. You're not willing to believe God. Some of you have not yet picked it up because you've not yet been found. For God's looking for you this morning. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's bow for prayer.